Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Özil marca, Mesut Özil. Ojo que llega de nuevo con peligro el Arsenal. Chamberlain, el centro de Chamberlain, no, el disparo, gol. En un minuto dos goles, 0-2.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there, welcome to another Arscast Extra, as always with James from Gunnerblog. Goodly, I don't know what to do here now, this is confusing to me.
It is confusing, yeah. I mean, it won't make it much difference to the listener, presumably, but for us, it's a discombobulating experience.
It is, because normally we record in the morning and I can say goodly morning to you, but this is not the morning, it's almost, well, it's approaching evening on Sunday, but do we keep up the charade of pretending to do it? No, I don't know. I don't know what to do now.
Well, I guess people might still be listening in the morning.
They
so we
will?
Can still wish them a goodly morning. It's, well, just me.
Yeah. Goodly afternoon to you. I was just opening a beer. And goodly morning to everybody else, unless the people who are listening to this are listening in the afternoon. And then this is, well, the whole thing is fucked then.
It is. But look, you're doing the podcast and you're having a beer at 10 a.m. or whenever we normally record. That would be deemed inappropriate.
It would be deemed inappropriate, but it wouldn't necessarily stop me.
No, just that's saying. True. That's true. That's only the first time we've heard about it.
Yes. Okay, well, look, here we are then of an evening. As we're talking, Manchester United and Chelsea are playing at Stamford Bridge. I'm watching. I have it on a little streamy doodah here down the bottom. I'm hoping that certainly there'll be some injuries, some red cards, a bit of violence. Who knows? But so far, not much of that has happened. So,
okay, well, keep me up to date as it goes along.
I will. Anything exciting that happens, I will let you know first thing. And we're just coming off the back of... what do they call it? Word begins with W, I think. Win!
We won a game!
We won! Hurrah! In the league for the first time since January the 2nd.
Oof.
Blimey.
That's some time, isn't it? Some time's gone by. A month and a bit.
Yeah. Now, I know we had that game against Burnley in the FA Cup, which was also a victory. Very nice victory.
Yeah.
Is that how Louis van Gaal says victory? Would he say victory?
I imagine so. Yeah. His big potato head.
Yeah, except he would say, like, victory! Like that.
Yeah. He speaks like a man who sort of wants to be made into a vine, you know?
Yeah. All of a sudden he's 60 whatever years of age and he's just realized that his entire purpose of being put on the earth was to speak in a way that is perfectly captured in 6-second videos on something that wasn't even invented when he was born. It's amazing.
He's embraced the power of social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, we won a game. I mean, it's a strange and unfamiliar feeling. I don't know about you, in the league at least. I'm unsettled by it, more so than recording in the afternoon.
Well, I have to say I quite like it. I like it. It's good.
I could get used to it. Could get used to it.
You know, it felt, I won't say routine, but after we'd gone 2-0 up, and even though Bournemouth had a good second half, I thought, in fairness, they did try. But we were never really under any genuine threat. I never felt like a game that we were going to lose. And even if I would have liked another goal just to make it even more secure, I'm happy enough with taking 3 points. I mean, was that as good as we could expect after, what, 3 games without scoring and having not won since January the 2nd? It was really all about getting a win one way or the other, however we did it.
That's it. It wasn't so much the case that I never felt that, oh, well, sooner or later, some team's going to be on the end of a hiding. You know, I think we just need to build our confidence back up.
Mm.
And a win like this, we scored some goals. We didn't concede any goals. I mean, look, that's a formula I'd be happy to stick with.
Yeah. Ooh, I found a crisp.
Where is the obvious question to ask?
On the desk here in front of me.
Interesting.
It's interesting. Pepper and salt type crisp. It's good. I hope it's a crisp anyway and not, you know, a scab or something. But anyway.
I mean, did you leave crisps there or is it naturally occurring? Has it grown there? What's happening?
No, I did. I had some crisps earlier and okay. I think I must have just, wandered off without one.
So the crumbs that you left behind have larger crisp.
No, it was actually quite a big crisp. I don't know how I didn't see it.
I know.
Mm. But what was the last thing you said? What was the last thing you said? Oh, Diego Costa's very angry. He's very angry. He's having a chat with Michael Oliver. John Terry's having a chat with Michael Oliver. Cesc is having a chat with Michael Oliver. Diego Costa's still really angry. I don't know why.
That counts as news, though, does it?
No.
He's perennially angry, that man.
He's claiming somebody did something to him. That's what he's saying.
Do you know what I think happened? I mean, I'm not watching the game. I reckon he actually did something to someone else.
Yeah, no, actually what happened was he won a header and headed it over the bar and there was some close attention from a defender. I think it was Daniel Blind. And he's claiming that his shirt was being pulled, which of course it probably was. But, there you go. But no violence yet, but it's brewing. It's brewing.
Early days on the violence front.
So what was the last thing you said about football, that thing that we should be talking about?
That I liked it, and I liked what happened when we scored goals and the other team didn't, and then we were awarded points on that basis.
Yes. We'll discuss the goals now in a couple of moments, because they were good goals, and I think they merit some discussion and some analysis. But let me talk a little bit to you about Matthew Flamini. Matthew Flamini. What did you make of that challenge?
I thought it was crazy. I can still hear you with the crisp, by the way.
Sorry,
I can tell you're still,
that was the last bit.
It's fine. I'm jealous. That's why I'm pointing it out.
Yeah.
I thought it was, it was a crunching tackle, wasn't it? I mean,
it was a crunching tackle, thankfully, only on the ball.
Yes, exactly. To borrow a sound effect from the crisp. But I think it was ludicrous. I mean, what was it, 9 minutes in?
Yep.
Eight minutes? Nine minutes? And I think he was very fortunate indeed not to be given a red card.
Yeah. I think but perhaps just that little bit of distance between him and the opponent is what saved him. But that little bit of distance is what makes that particular challenge and the style of that challenge even more fucking stupid than it was. Or that, it's absolutely ridiculous to make a challenge like that.
Absolutely. And as Arsenal fans, I think I've made this point before, but we know that more than most because we've seen players hurt by that kind of risky challenge. And I thought he was very lucky to stay on the pitch. And that, I suppose, is one of the problems of Flamini, isn't it? Is that he is prone to these moments of...
Yeah,
rash
but you,
decision making.
Yeah, sure, but you know what? You know when he did it? Oh, nearly a goal. De Gea made a good save there from a Matic header. But you know what? The first thing that fucking went through my mind when he did that was, first I was going, oh shit, he's going to be sent off, and then I was relieved that he wasn't. But then I was thinking, why is it you would do that when there's absolutely no need to do it, but when Willian is standing in front of you, you won't even take a yellow card with a cynical sort of a foul. You know, he could have held him up in midfield in the Chelsea game that would have prevented the ball going through. And, obviously we know Mertesacker was sent off. So why is it when he could have made a stupid challenge or what could be considered a foul, he doesn't? And then in this situation, he's like, 8 minutes in and we're a team that's really struggling for form. We haven't scored in three games. I know what will get us going. I'll jump in two-footed. I mean, what the fuck is he thinking?
I would love to know. Maybe he's thinking about his billionaire business idea. Maybe he's thinking about his blossoming relationship with Mesut Ozil. Did you watch that interview on Sky Sports with those two before the game?
I didn't. I saw word of it on the Sky Sports website, I think. And then I thought to myself, do I want to watch this? And I said, no. I don't.
Sure. Fair enough.
How was it?
It's always nice to see people in love. but it is, you know, it's Beauty's in the eye beholder, you know. But for me, I can't really see what Ozil sees in Flamini. But obviously, there's a real bond there.
Well, listen, I'm a big fan of Mesut Ozil, but you know, he's not. I wouldn't say that he himself is, you know, the most eye-catchingly handsome fella. You know,
no.
Out of the two of them, I'd say probably, you know, Flamini's the one that's taken a, you know,
Flamini's the looker of the pair. I guess so. But, I mean, it was a crazy thing to do, and I can't possibly explain it. But then there's lots of things about Flamini I can't really explain.
Well, here's another thing I couldn't explain, is why in the 27th minute he went in sliding at full pace on one Bournemouth player. I can't remember which guy it was. Thankfully, he missed everybody. He missed the Bournemouth player. He missed, you know, everything. But had he connected with the player there, that was a fucking second yellow, no question. I mean, what the fuck is he on about?
I mean, the only thing I can think is that he loves programmes about property, because at BBC One at the time we kicked off was an hour-long edition of Homes Under the Hammer, followed by Escape to the Country. Meanwhile, on Channel 4, I'm just looking, 1:30 p.m. started location, location, location. I wonder if he was thinking, I'm so desperate to watch these programmes about people trying to buy a house that I can't be a wall pitch any longer. I've got to get off and load up my television and enjoy these property shows.
Mm, maybe that's what it is. There was a little moment there where your connection went blah, 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 blah. So people can make their own minds up as to what it was you said there.
Well, let me tell you, what I said was very important and definitely true.
Do you think perhaps there was an element of, you know, he loves Arsenal so much that he's going, well, if Arsene Wenger won't drop me, I'll take one for the team here, you know, in the long run.
Possibly. I mean, yeah, a 3-game ban would have really sorted out some of the selection issues.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest, when we went 2-0 up, I was thinking, wow, a late second yellow for Flamini wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, why do you think he started? Purely a fitness thing, would you say? Or?
I guess. I'm imagining that he doesn't quite think Coquelin is ready, and he might want Coquelin for Bournemouth or for Leicester next weekend, and he thinks, well, this is Bournemouth, and maybe we can get away with Flamini and Ramsey. And, you know, to be fair, we did. That was proven to be the case. It wasn't ideal. I think what he did throughout the game was generally fine, you know, in terms of his passing and everything else. But, you know, he's a guy who couldn't make a tackle from the 8th minute onwards. You know, so it was, yeah, it was. I just don't quite understand what he was thinking. You know, a guy of his experience, he's not 22 years of age. He's nearly 32 years of age. And he should know better than that. And he should be, you know, he didn't get a second yellow. He came close, I think. But, yeah, anyway, look, we won in spite of that. Thankfully.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. We got there in the end. Yeah. And as you said, two lovely goals.
Yes, Aaron Ramsey, who, as part of this partnership, obviously has struggled a little bit in recent weeks, but I thought this was Ramsey's best game for quite a while, involved in both the goals. The cross, nice nod back from Giroud, and then, a really nice finish from Mesut Ozil.
Emphatic finish, wasn't it? I mean, I didn't see that coming necessarily from him on his weak foot as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. Good goal, that. And then a goal from Oxlade-Chamberlain.
His first in the league for about 18 months, is that right?
Apparently so. His first ever away from home.
Wow. That is something. I mean, that's what he did is absolutely what we're all crying out for him to do, isn't it? And that he doesn't do nearly often enough to get in on that overlap and, you know, finish clinically. It was a really excellent finish right across the goalkeeper in off the far post. Brilliantly taken goal. And I thought the decision to start with him was interesting as well. I mean, Arsene spoke before the game. He was interviewed by Sky and said, oh, it was a decision made based on his form. He's in good form. But he didn't figure against Southampton, if I'm right. I think he was bench.
Yeah.
So he must have been showing something in training. And that selection obviously paid dividends.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think his overall game was particularly great. But it's felt for a while like he's a guy who needs something to sort of spark him back into life a little bit, no?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, he's been in the doldrums. But there was an assist against Bournemouth, wasn't... not Bournemouth, against Burnley.
Burnley?
Yeah, that's it. He set up Alexis Gar with a decent cutback. So maybe, you know, some signs that a bit of productivity is happening there. I agree about Aaron Ramsey. I thought he was really good at trying to make things happen in the middle of the park, covered a lot of ground, and he was constantly looking for that clip ball over the top. I think it was quite intelligent at times, and that's actually how we got the first goal from that Giroud knockdown. So, I was impressed with him despite his partner's antics.
Do you think what Flamini did today will have an impact on what team he selects against Leicester? I mean, it strikes me that, you know, if you're going up against this guy Kante in midfield, you know, it's a 4-4-2 that Leicester play. I think he's got to go back with Coquelin, doesn't he?
I think so. I'd like to think so. I mean, I'd like to think he would have done that irrespective of Flamini's performance today. You know, when I saw Coquelin on the bench, I wondered if it was with half a mind on Leicester. Are we almost protecting him, you know, making sure that he's going to be fit for that game? Because after their result on Saturday, that just feels like a massive, massive match now. I mean, what did you make of that? What did you make of them going to City and winning 3-1?
It's amazing. Really, what they're doing is amazing. I think it's, you know, obviously from an Arsenal point of view, it would be good if they weren't doing it. But I think when you step back and you look at it, it's pretty fucking great, you know, that a team like that built the way it's been built with a manager who, when he came, like the established football journalists couldn't wait to make jokes about how he was going to be the first man fired and how he was basically a laughingstock. And, you know, I guess they're probably looking at the situation that they're in and going, fuck, you know, how exactly did this happen? But, you know, from a footballing point of view, I think it's brilliant. And I think you know, it's good when we see that money isn't necessarily the only thing that's important in football. But I do wish people would just look at it on its own merits and say, look, this is just a fantastic thing that Leicester are doing, rather than comparing it to all the other teams who've got more money and have spent more on transfers and have done this, that, and the other, and have more established or more celebrated managers. You know, I think that kind of takes away from what Leicester are doing. I mean, the result against City was amazing, no?
Yeah, because, you know, they had these two away games, City and Arsenal, and I'll be honest, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, this might be where it starts to unravel. I've been saying that for about 3 months to myself, and they just keep going, and when they have had little setbacks, they've recovered superbly. I mean, they have to be taken super seriously now, don't they? I mean, you know, having with that fillip of that win over City, the confidence that will give them, they seem to play completely without fear. You know, I think it's almost become a cliche, but this thing of once you've fought relegation at one end of the table, a title race is a breeze by comparison.
Yeah.
In terms of the pressure that you face, and you can see that in the way they're playing, and they just look. Well, they look very difficult to stop, and it's going to be really fascinating when they come to the Emirates next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be a hugely, hugely important game, isn't it? I mean, it's pivotal in both seasons. You know, if Arsenal win next weekend against Leicester, the lead is 2 points. And then we'll see maybe how Leicester will cope with that kind of pressure. You know, if Leicester get the result, then Jesus, you know, it's there's still a lot of football to play, a lot of points to play for, but you know, you'd have to fancy them simply because they just don't have any pressure, they've no distractions, they've no worries about Europe or anything like that. It's going to be a hugely exciting game, probably the biggest ever Arsenal Leicester fixture that I can remember, anyway.
Certainly. I mean, probably since the 2004, the last season, last game of the Invincibles campaign, where we had to come through that one, and they gave us a right scare, Paul Dickov, on that day.
That's right, but Gunner Paul Dickov.
Absolutely. But, I mean, just looking at the table now, they're significantly clear of fifth place. I mean, you'd have to think that they probably will finish in the top four now, and that alone is a monumental achievement. Just extraordinary, really, and, I mean, where are we now? February, and it's impossible to predict how this race is going to play out.
Isn't it interesting? I don't know if you saw the stories, and I don't know if they've necessarily been 100% confirmed, but I think we've taken two of Leicester's scouting staff. We've poached them, as they say.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. Because
certainly the first one was definitely true. I can't remember the name of the guy, but
was
that definitely
Wigglesworth happened.
Yeah, that one has happened. I think he's not quite yet started working for us, but and he's a guy who's worked on the analytical side for Leicester. I think increasingly Arsenal are trying to look to employ those methods as well as, you know, just getting players out to watch games. I think there's a lot of data analysis going on now in terms of recruitment. Some suggestions even that might have played a part in the acquisition of Mohamed Elneny, that kind of data.
Really?
Yeah, which would be an interesting one. But I...
Well, there's the thing. Yeah. Where was he? I mean, he was not in the squad. Apparently his wife just had a baby. So Could that have been it?
I think that was probably it. Although, you know, he hasn't figured too much. So I do wonder how much we'll see of him between now and the end of the season. But I think that's a good sign because the signings they've made have been superb. I mean, you mentioned Kante before, probably the signing of the season in terms of what he's brought to their midfield. And then Riyad Mahrez, who they picked up when they were a championship side, you know, and just has been absolutely outstanding, as good as anyone, really.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't be at all surprised, regardless of what happens this summer or what happens the rest of this season, if Mahrez isn't one of our big targets this summer.
Would you say so? I think so. I think he's got a... Well, I mean, he certainly would fit into the style of play, wouldn't he? He plays with that swagger and that style.
Yeah. And he scores goals from midfield from wide areas, which is something that we definitely need. It was very interesting, Arsene Wenger talking about strikers. And he was saying, look, in the market on January, I don't really see anyone out there who's better than what we've got, which is a fair point. But he was talking about goals from other areas and from other players and how we haven't really had enough of those. So I think there's definitely a deficit of goals from players in wide areas. But, you know, we got one today. Obviously, Oxlade-Chamberlain was picked on the right-hand side and he chipped in with a goal. Mesut Ozil with his sixth of the season. So, you know, this is what we talked about all week, wasn't it? That when the strikers don't score, it's the supporting cast that have to come in and make a contribution. And they did that today. And that's what got us the 3 points.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't think it was a particularly great game overall. I mean, those two goals, you know, you wait 347 minutes for an Arsenal goal and then two come along in the space of a minute or something. Either side of that, I didn't think we were scintillating. I thought Bournemouth were good and workmanlike and played some decent stuff, but it wasn't a thriller of a game. But this was all about getting back on the winning trail, really, and starting to recover that league position, because before kickoff, you know, we're in fourth place and 8 points behind. So, you know, now if we win next weekend, 2 points behind the leaders. So it's been a good turnaround and hopefully the start of another positive run, which is what we really need.
Yes, absolutely. We just needed to get back to winning ways today and to get a win under our belts, and that's exactly what we did. So it sets it up nicely then for next weekend. Anything else in particular stick out for you from today?
Just trying to have a think, really. Don't think so, really. It's interesting. I thought Theo Walcott barely involved in the game at all. Oxlade-Chamberlain given the chance over him. You know, I think Arsene seems to have finally recognised that the dire straits his form is in.
Yeah, he was sent to warm up in the 60th minute, and he came on with 30 seconds of injury time remaining.
Yeah, that was our Sky sort of showed him, didn't they? It's just that he might be coming on, and then we waited and waited and waited, and you know, I think he might be back in that position where the manager doesn't necessarily trust him, especially when we're protecting a league. A lead. An interesting day for him, especially with Oxlade-Chamberlain scoring and presumably nudging himself ahead of Walcott in the pecking order for that spot.
There are some questions about individual players, but I think we'll wait till the second part of the show to do those.
Okay.
But let's just move sideways a little bit away from what happened against Leicester, or against, who the hell was it? Bournemouth. We've got Leicester on our minds. I think that's what it is. We're all like just Leicestered up. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's all about Leicester now.
But obviously something happened midweek with Arsenal and the surcharge for the Barcelona tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal back down this time. I don't think they're going to do that again. You know, firstly, as a season ticket holder, what did you make of that?
I'll be honest, I found it very galling. I found it very irritating. I understand the arguments of, you know, there is some precedent here. There, you know, there, these rules are in place, But I think the timing of it was particularly poor, especially after the moving of the Leicester game. I know that wasn't the club's fault directly, but that felt like a real blow to fans, a situation where fans weren't considered. And then this followed up just a few weeks later. And I think it was kind of a tipping point, really. And I'll be honest, I was pleased with the reaction, the strength of the reaction from the Arsenal fans. I think that, you know, it's awful when supporters are paying these huge amounts of money and they kind of sleepwalk through it and they kind of complain about it in a very muted way. I think if you're not happy, you've got to let that be known. And sometimes that will pay off for you, as it did in this case.
Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting, wasn't it, that, John Terry claiming handball in the box from Daley Blind. Oh, he's right. Blind is there with his arms up and his shot was deflected just wide for a corner. That could have been a penalty. Anyway, I think what was interesting was that how unified people became, because we know within the Arsenal fan base there are various divisions and factions, of course, depending on what you think about one thing or another. But this seemed to bring everybody more or less together. I thought the tone of the Arsenal email announcing that, you know, this time we're aware there's confusion or fans don't understand, etc., etc., I thought that was a bit patronizing, to be honest. There was a little bit of like, oh, well, you know, you'll have to suck this up next time it happens, because it will happen again, because these are the rules and this is what's going to happen. But it was the right thing to do, given the way that this was implemented, given the way that it was communicated. And, you know, the big fear that I always had was that this would become the lightning rod. The team would become a lightning rod for the frustration that people feel at decisions like this that are made at board level, because there's no way of of connecting or communicating directly with those people, because they're insulated in this bubble, right? They're there, and Kroenke's thousands of miles away, moving the Rams from St. Louis to Los Angeles. So he's got, what does he care? He doesn't give a fuck. He's going, well, yeah, it'll be another 700,000, bring it in. So I think, you know, had they kept that going and things hadn't gone well in a game or two, particularly in that Barcelona game, it would have made for a really noxious atmosphere, and the club would have had nobody to blame there but themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I even felt a little for Arsene Wenger, who had to come out in a press conference and face questions about it. You know, it's not his decision. He's protecting the board to an extent. He becomes a lightning rod in that situation. So I think it's for the best. I agree with you. I thought the tone of Arsenal's email wasn't great. It kind of felt like a begrudging concession.
Yeah. It definitely was.
Yeah. At a time when, you know, a ludicrous amount of money is about to come into the club, all the Premier League clubs this summer, from the new TV deals and the international deals, and there really is no need to scrimp and save. And, you know, interesting, I thought the Liverpool fans, you know, they were unhappy about the ticket prices. They played for their game with Sunderland at the weekend. They all walked out 77 minutes, and you saw that have a very direct impact on the team.
Well, yeah, wasn't that really interesting? You know, that Liverpool 2-0 up, cruising to victory against a team battling against relegation. The fans walk out, and, you know, maybe you could argue, well, you can't say for sure that this was, they conceded those two goals because the fans walked out. But, you know, it's hard not to look at those two events in isolation. And it does highlight the importance of the fans in the stadium behind their team and not feeling like they're at odds with their football club. Because regardless of what you think about board members or managers, or whether you want a new manager or you don't want a new manager, when you're in the stadium, you want your team to win, and you're behind your team. And, you know, there are always people who are going to give out and complain, and there are those sort of characters. But, you know, clearly when you've got everybody together, it's for the benefit of the team on the pitch. When the Liverpool fans walked out, they conceded two goals in the last 12 minutes. I don't know if that made a huge point. I don't know if that's the kind of point Liverpool fans would have liked to make. I'm sure they wanted their team to win, but it was certainly an illustration that, look, if you fuck around with fans too much, that there is a breaking point for people. And it wasn't a few people walking out. It was 10,000 or 12,000 fans walked out of that stadium. You know, it was a remarkable thing to see.
Well, I've got to applaud those fans for that. I think it's great to take a stance. And, you know, it's difficult because those fans have paid for those tickets. They don't want to miss the game. They want to cheer their team on, but they've got to make their voices heard somehow. And I think that they went about it in a really good way, and their team paid the price. As you say, a great illustration of the value of support and how important it is to keep that unity there. Mm. I mean, to bring it back to Leicester, anyone who's been to their stadium this season will tell you the atmosphere there is absolutely electric at the moment, and that harmony is vital. And, of course, vital to marketing the Premier League as a product. It's, you know, the fans have been taken for granted to an extent, and that can't be allowed to continue, really.
Well, yeah. And it will be interesting because it is about marketing. It is about the brand. It is about the image. You know, the Liverpool thing, turning fans into customers, I think was their thing. And then it became turning consumers into fans when, you know, they were pulled up on it. And that's the outlook of the people that own football clubs now. And that's the reality that we have to face as fans, is that people who own football clubs, they're not fans anymore. You know, there are a few Jack Walkers. The guy at Stoke maybe is a big Stoke fan, and he can bankroll them from a position of being a Stoke fan for his entire life. But, you know, there aren't the guys, the people that own the shares in Arsenal are not Arsenal fans. They don't care about Arsenal as a club. They care about Arsenal as a brand, as a franchise, as a business, as, you know, as something that can generate income and revenue. And that's true of most Premier League owners now. And if they start looking at what happened at Anfield and realize, hey, there is a point beyond which where this is damaging to us, then maybe that's the only way to make them see some kind of sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And I think, you know, it would be a shame if it comes to something like that at Arsenal. But it may well have to, because supporters have to make their views heard some way or other.
All right. That's enough for part one. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with part two right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. All right, welcome back to the Arscast Extra. This is the part of the show where we answer the questions that you send to us on Twitter at Gunnerblog and at Arsblog. But this is also the moment of the show where we ask you, the listener who listens, by your very nature, that's what you do. If you do like this show, if you like what we do every week, please give us a rating or a review on iTunes. Number one, it's good for our iTunes chart thing. Number two, it makes us smell better. Number three, it's good for our rampant egos. And number four, James?
It'll make you feel good.
Yes, you'll feel good.
You'll have done a nice thing.
Yeah, you'll feel good about yourself. Yeah.
And isn't that most important in a way?
That is. It's good that we're allowing people to do something that will make them feel good about themselves by doing something good for us.
Hey,
I feel good about myself.
We're good guys like that.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
So give us a good rating.
Yeah, or a review. People say nice things, actually, sometimes on iTunes.
Do they?
Yeah.
Nice things on the internet?
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre. I meant to get a couple, actually, because I did laugh at a couple of them. That if you go to the iTunes store and you have a look at the reviews and the ratings, and you can see some of the comments that people leave. I think one of them said, "Yeah, it's a good podcast. I really like that Scottish guy."
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But there you go. Anyway, look, we'll leave that to people to go and do that. Right. It's questions.
It's question time. It's a bit tricky because we're recording at an unusual time, so the people weren't ready with their questions.
No, they're going for their Sunday roasts after watching the game, and it's like roast beef with Yorkshire puddings and roast potatoes and gravy and all kinds.
And tomorrow morning there's going to be mass disappointment. A load of questions are going to be submitted and we're going to have to say, I'm sorry, it's too late.
Yeah.
I won't be here, but maybe you can just sit and answer them all day on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I've got nothing better to do anyway. So
great.
So
great,
I'll do
great,
that.
Great.
Just do a live Q&A session. That's what
lovely. Thanks for taking the hit on that one.
Yeah.
I'll start, shall I?
Yeah, sure.
I'm taking the initiative, seizing it.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, this one's from Jonah Steen, or Stein. You never know with that, do you? He's Tromso Jonas. Tromso in Norway.
Right,
do you remember
so.
Tromso? Tromso played Chelsea once, and it was the snowiest football match I've ever seen.
Yes, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Did they win?
I think Chelsea won, yeah. But I think they won Torre André Flo. I think they sort of took him home with them, effectively. they so enjoyed his length, the length of him as a man.
Yeah.
That's a misleading thing to say. Anyway, he asks, speaking of tall men, should Per Mertesacker start against Leicester?
Wow, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Because I too have a similar-ish question. It comes from, we can deal with this one, it comes from You Are My Arsenal, who is at You Are My Arsenal, which is, that's handy if that's your name and also your username. I think that's pretty cool. And he says, okay, I'll get in once. He said,
He's reluctant.
Yeah,
the Arsenal board not charging us Barcelona. Yeah. He'd do it, but he's not happy about it.
I'm not happy about doing this, but I'll do it anyway. And he said, okay. He wants to know, are we worried about Gabriel's propensity for allowing attackers goal side of him? So the Per Mertesacker thing, right? The manager has had to play Gabriel in the absence of Mertesacker after his suspension, and has kept him in the side. He's decided to give him a little run of games, and I think he's done okay. But there's nearly always a moment, isn't there, in every game where he kind of gets a bit roasted, or where something bad happens, or you know. And I think we've gotten away with it for the most part in the games, but he does worry me a little bit. And part of me goes, well, maybe, you know, you put Mertesacker in, a bit more of a calm, assured presence in there. And then the other part of me is like, well, maybe he just needs a few more games. But I'm not yet convinced 100% by Gabriel and Koscielny together.
I think it's my fault, you know, because do you remember we had a question a couple of weeks ago about what we thought of Gabriel, and I was raving about him, saying I thought he was ready and I've been really impressed by him and he should get a run in the side. And since then, he has had a run in the side and I haven't been utterly convinced. I actually think he has looked a bit dodgy at times. I wouldn't go as far as say he's played badly, but like you say, some hairy moments, definitely. And I thought he struggled a little against Southampton. Even though it was a 0-0, there were moments where he was one-on-one with the likes of Shane Long and looked a little bit uncomfortable. And I really thought Mertesacker would be back in for the Bournemouth game. And yet he wasn't. So what do we read into that? Is that just Arsene? Is he unhappy with Mertesacker after he was sent off against Chelsea? Do you think he's punishing him? Or I don't know.
I don't think he's punishing him. I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's just, you know, Gabriel has come in, done okay, and maybe look today at, you know, a couple of speedy attackers. I mean, I do that sort of gives me pause for thought, you know, when it comes to Mertesacker and Vardy, and the other guy is quite quick as well. Mahrez is quick. And when you look at the two goals, well, certainly the first goal that we conceded against Leicester away from home, it was Vardy down the left-hand side, and he got away from Mertesacker from a pace point of view. So I do wonder if he's going to look at keeping the pace of Gabriel in the side. What about that tackle from Hector Bellerin when Gabriel did get roasted that time? Hector Bellerin put the
amazing
put the
recovery.
Burners on. Brilliant.
Amazing recovery. I mean, yeah, I wondered if Gabriel's run on the side might have been connected to the Barcelona game, you know, the speed of Suarez, Messi, Neymar, if that was something that potentially he was thinking about there. But I don't know. I mean, he does seem to have decided. I would never go as far as to say, you know, sometimes we get questions saying, oh, is this the end of Per Mertesacker or anything like that? I would never say that. But I do feel like he's obviously decided to give Gabriel and Koscielny a run. And there must be a strategic reason for that. Maybe even just he feels the need to freshen it up after a number of games without a win. I don't know.
Yeah, why freshen that up and leave Flamini in, though? Come on.
That makes no sense, I concur.
What's going on there?
So what do you think? Do you think he'll be back next weekend or after a clean sheet, after another clean sheet today? So two clean sheets consecutively now.
That's it. You know, I mean, there was that moment, but generally I thought Gabriel's passing was a little bit off. And I do wonder just if there's just a touch of Vermaelen and Koscielny to Vermaelen and Gabriel. But you think back to the Chelsea game, you think back to the high line, you think back to the sending off. I think he might stick with Gabriel.
Do you?
What do you think?
Yeah. I the thing is, if Arsene likes to be quite meritocratic in his selections, and I can't see a good enough reason to change it, really. I think having stuck with it for Southampton and Bournemouth, it does make sense to stick with it for Leicester. And the pace of Vardy is a factor. You know, we all remember that Leicester goal where he absolutely tore Mertesacker apart, you know, on that flank, and I wonder if that's stuck in Arsene's mind too.
Yeah.
So maybe it will be Gabriel. But if it was me, I think I'd probably bring Mertesacker back in.
I think I would too. I'm just trying to think what the manager would do. I think that was the question. You know, it's not if we picked the team. You know, if we picked the team, it would be very different.
I mean, we'd probably be in it, wouldn't we?
Fucking right. Centre half pairing of McNicholas and Mangan.
Half.
Yeah.
No, I want to play number nine, goal hanger.
No. You're not allowed. I've seen no.
You've seen me play. That's
yeah.
Fair.
And if you're worried about pace in the side when Mertesacker's in it, whew, we'd fucking make you shit your pants from the first minute onwards.
I mean, I'd probably bench myself for the Jamie Vardy game. Definitely.
oh, leave me hanging. Thanks.
Yeah.
Great. Cheers. I'll take the flag.
Enjoy
on
that.
Twitter. Yeah.
Enjoy that one.
Yeah. So that's what I think is going to happen there. So
okay. Wow.
Yeah. Before we get another question, Thomas Rosicki, that was a bit sad, wasn't it?
Oh, more than a bit sad.
Did you watch the video?
Interview? Oh, God. Heartbreaking. There's a moment where he just looks off into the distance or sort of down and you sort of think, oh, God, should we be watching this? This feels intrusive. He's going to break down.
It could only have been sadder if they'd played the Incredible Hulk theme tune.
Yeah, the walking away.
The walking away, you know?
Yeah.
If they played that during that interview, I think I would have just been like, I think I would have cried.
Bawling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm gonna play it here if people haven't heard it. Here we go. We're gonna get it now. So Thomas, you're never gonna play again. How do you feel about that? It's terrible.
Oh God, I can't even listen to it now.
And think about Thomas's sad face now.
No, I can't. I can't. I have to just pretend it didn't happen.
Oh.
It's too tragic. I can't face the reality of it.
Hang on. Here's the really sad bit. Wait. Goes up a key.
Oh, God.
It's haunting.
Just clutching his hamstring.
Oh, God. I can't
just
listen to anymore.
Betrayed him again.
Oh, poor Thomas. I feel really bad for him. I hope he can come back and play another game. It would be great if we could keep the season alive and, you know, imagine a Rosicki goal at the end of the season to win the title. Wouldn't that be some fairy tale?
Oof, yes, please. I'll sign up for that.
But we need a question, don't we?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Is it from me or from you?
I think I'll do one. Okay. I've got to find one, actually. Yeah, hang on. Here we go. All right, this one comes from Eric, who's at Eric Lewish.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, tragedy strikes. No, not just the one to Thomas Rosicki. Tragedy strikes, and the squad can only use their weaker feet. I presume that means to kick the ball rather than to run, because otherwise they'd just be hopping. Who fares the best, and who's the worst?
Great question. I mean, so the obvious answer for who fares the best is Santi Cazorla, if yeah. he's even allowed as an answer.
Oh, he has to be allowed. Has to.
Fine. Because he's so ambidextrous, it's almost cheating. But yeah, I think he would be...
Ambifootstrous, James. That's the...
Sorry, yes. I used the incorrect term. But what? Who? I mean, he's so obvious that I'm inclined to ask if there's anyone who's close to him in
yeah.
terms of that.
I'm gonna put it out there. Petr Cech.
Okay.
Because as a goalkeeper, he's got to practice. And I don't know. Look, I can pass a ball with my left foot. I'm reasonably good at passing a ball with my left foot. But when you ask me to launch a ball, like if you were going to make a clearance or if you were taking a goal kick, then I do that weird thing where you run up to it and you look like, you know, you've never played the game before.
Can't get the stride right.
Yeah, I just can't do it. And, Cech, you look at him and he's able to clear with both feet really well. You don't get that. Oh God, is he going to make good contact or not, that you've had with some of the other Arsenal goalkeepers? So I would say Petr Cech would be close enough.
What did you make of Cech dribbling out down the field? That was an interesting sight. We haven't seen that many times, have we?
No.
Do you remember that from the Bournemouth game?
Yeah. I liked it. I pretty much like everything that Petr Cech does. West Antone asks, Petr Cech's 12th clean sheet for us. How important was he for us again today? And we'll come back to the feet question.
I mean, as important as he always is, like, especially with this uncertainty about the central defensive partnership with Coquelin out the side, he's... You know, he is the defensive spine of the team at present, and 12 clean sheets really is absolutely excellent, isn't it? I mean, considering what's going on,
yeah,
and I mean, I can't speak highly enough of him. We know we only made the one signing last summer, but what a signing it's turned out to be!
Yeah, yeah, two great saves towards the end.
Yeah,
you know, there was one with his feet, and then one down at his near post. You know, on the one hand, you'd say, look, it's fucking great to see a goalkeeper do that, and it's brilliant to see him do it, you know, consistently. He's made a big difference to this team, I think, in terms of defensive security. What you would perhaps ask is, do we want our goalkeeper to be that busy, you know?
Of course you don't. You don't. Ideally, you don't want to notice him.
Yeah.
A decent one in the first half as well from, was it Harry
Arter? Yeah.
Shot from outside the box.
Tipped it over, yeah.
Yeah, very acrobatic.
I love him. I put up a tweet actually on just after he made that save, and I just wrote, I love Petr Cech. And then I favorited this Chelsea fan who's still got an avatar of Mourinho. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, but it's someone who likes Chelsea. Oh, it's Miss something, so she's got to be a girl. She loves Chelsea and the Orlando Pirates FC. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, she has Sangre Azul, so she's got blue blood.
Oh,
right. Anyway, she just replied to it going, ugh. So I like that. Yeah. I like that it upsets Chelsea fans that
yeah,
we've got
of course.
Him.
Mm. We've got him. He's ours. We're not letting go.
Yes.
Okay, so he'd be your tip for the weak foot challenge.
Yeah, Cazorla aside, who I think is the obvious one, there's nobody who's going to do it better than Cazorla because, you know, Hleb was a very good two-footed player, actually. He was not quite as good as Cazorla, but he was really good with both feet.
He never really struck the ball true, do you know what I mean? Mm. Like he was always sort of poking it here and there and little side foot passes, but he wasn't someone who would ever put through. I mean, he didn't like to shoot Hleb, did he? It was sort of an aversion to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's not good at this? Now, I'm going to say, and ironically, because I feel like having one of his feet amputated seems inevitable, Jack Wilshere, not great with his right foot, is it?
Yeah, left-footed players tend to be really one-footed, don't they?
I think they're just not pushed, are they? They're not pressed to be two-footed in the same way. Everyone's so delighted they're left-footed.
Yeah, because, you know, what is it? What's the term? a wand of a left foot, or what's a cultured left foot? I should have, of course, have known that because of the great Arsenal blog, a cultured left foot.
My cultured left foot that you've seen from me playing football.
Yes, of course. I didn't realize you were left footed. but yeah, I mean, I think that's true. A little bit of left footed players, I would say. Who else? I wouldn't imagine Theo Walcott is great with his left foot.
No, I can't remember too many goals he scored with it. That's certainly for sure.
Mm. Chelsea player's gone down, really badly injured by the looks of it. Uh-oh, this is not good for whoever this is. It could be Zuma. He went in doing a flying kick of a clearance and he nearly kicked someone in the head, and then he's landed and he's actually screaming.
Is this sort of, are we talking ligament kind of affair?
I suspect this could be one of those where he lands and his leg straightens or something like that. You know, one of those ones. Yeah, they're all waving on, and Hazard's just done the roly-roly sub motion. Oh, they're playing a replay of it here. Oh Jesus. Oh, fuck. Oh, Christ. They just showed
What's
a replay
happened?
Of it. He landed. You know when you land and then your knee bends backwards?
Oy.
Oh my God.
Oh, and God, that's one of the watching.
That was one of the worst ones I think I've ever seen. Oh, that was bad. No wonder he was screaming, fuck.
Oh dear.
Yeah, they're saying bring a stretcher on. Oh my God. Please don't show it again, because I have that. Do you ever have that thing where you watch like fail videos and people falling and people, and you get the kind of the sensation in the pit of your stomach? When they land, you sort of, it's like that when you wake up from a dream and you're like, because you think you're falling, a bit like that.
Yeah, I
get
that all the time. I have that all the time.
This was a bit like that. Watching that, it was like, gross. Oh, poor guy.
Adam Hurry, who's the very funny at Football Cliches on Twitter, says all possible hand signals for the stretcher have now been used.
Yeah.
I know it's Chelsea, but that
I'm just looking here. Billy Dunmore at Dunmore or Less just said, fuck, that gave me goosebumps. Wasn't good. I made my stomach flip actually watching that. Poor guy. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I don't know. All I can think of is my knee inverting.
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
No. I can still walk.
Yeah.
So I don't think so.
Yeah. It's almost happened to me once.
I've never jumped that high, to be honest, so I don't think I'm in any real danger.
Yeah, it almost happened to me once where I landed and it went back, but just before it went back to the point where it would have gone, it righted itself out, thankfully. Jesus.
Well, look, hopefully, I don't know what to say. I mean, obviously, it just sounds like a real nasty one. Weak feet. Yeah, Jack Wilshere should be right up there for me. I mean, who else?
Walcott, just from a technique point of view, would probably struggle a little bit. Who else?
You don't see Kieran Gibbs do much with his right foot. I mean, I think anyone who's a left footer,
yeah,
is going to be a contender, aren't they?
That's true, and of course, you know, left footed people they die earlier as well. So I think it's the trade off.
Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse.
Mm, it is.
Okay, so I think we've dealt with that.
All right, here's a question. This comes from Lance Banner. God, we're on the Incredible Hulk theme, because obviously his father, Dr. David Banner, was the man who was the Incredible Hulk and had to walk away with sad music playing all the time. And he wants to know, what's with all the chants claiming players are better than Zidane? Has no one seen Zidane play?
Good question. By the way, do you know that Eric Banner played Hulk in the film Hulk, and his name is Banner?
But it's B-A-N-A, no?
I know, but even so.
Yeah, it's just
kind of cool.
He also played Chopper, didn't he?
Yeah.
In that film.
Yeah.
That was a good film.
He's had some good parts. Mm. Anyway, I've seen Zidane play. I've watched that film about Zidane where you do nothing but watch Zidane play.
Have you seen that? No, I haven't. Is it worth watching?
It depends how much you like Zidane.
I quite liked him, but, you know, I mean, he was an amazing footballer, but he seemed a bit of a nutcase to me.
Yeah. I mean, didn't Arsenal go and try and sign Zidane when he was at Bordeaux? Oh, no, it wasn't Arsenal, it was Blackburn.
We tried to sign everyone.
That's true.
Come
that's
on.
True. I think Blackburn were very close to signing Zidane from Bordeaux, and it fell through quite late in the
day. Who was the manager at the time? Kenny Dalglish or someone?
Probably Kenny Dalglish. Yeah, it was that sort of era.
Wow, imagine how Zidane would have thrived under Dalglish. I mean, he could have been
imagine him
20 times the player he is or was.
Playing alongside Tim Sherwood and Gary Flitcroft.
Fuck, I mean, it would have been. I mean, what a football education. Yeah, it really would.
But why all these songs about Zidane? Well, this is, of course, a reference to the new Mesut Ozil song,
yeah,
isn't it? Which I'm enjoying. It's good to have a song from Mesut Ozil. On which note, I don't think is there a chant for Petr Cech?
No. I don't think there is.
I haven't heard it. If there is, that must be amended. If there are fans out there listening, please get working
on
that.
What could we do? We could do like D-Ream. Things can only get better.
I'd love that. Any sort of pun, I'm on board with.
What a goal by Manchester United.
Oh,
Lingard has just scored a fucking cracking goal.
He enjoys a goal, doesn't he, that Lingard? I find it confusing that he's English. He doesn't sound like he's going to be English.
Hang on, what? He's English?
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't he?
I've got no idea. I assumed he was some kind of Scandinavian.
Hang on. Not Anders Lingard, the goalkeeper.
No. Another guy.
What's the other one called? He's called Lingard, isn't he?
He is called Lingard. You look it up there. But it's a good goal. Cross came in. He held off. Who did he held off? Oh, the Azpilicueta. Turned, and as he's falling, fires in a shot right into the top corner. Oh, just inside the post. So
Jesse
that's a goal
Lingard.
For Manchester. Jesse Lingard. So where's he from? Is he English?
Cheshire, I think.
Cheshire? Yeah.
But it's confusing because they've got a goalkeeper called Lindegaard, and he's, you know, not from Cheshire.
It wasn't him. I'm just saying.
So you're telling me a goalkeeper scored and a player's knee exploded. I'm going to watch Match of the Day later based on your
It's all there. It's
report.
All there. What were we talking about? Oh, a song for Petr Cech.
Song for Petr Cech. Why do people keep singing songs about Zinedine Zidane?
Yeah.
Because it's quite a good name for rhyming, presumably.
Well,
like,
yes. Yeah.
It rhymes with man, crucially, in the Arsenal song. He's Arsene Wenger's man. He's better than Zidane.
And understand. It rhymes with that. So I don't know who else it could have been.
Former Portsmouth forward, Aruna Dindan. I think maybe we should adapt the song to be about Aruna Dindan so that, you know, everyone knows that he's because Ozil's definitely better than Aruna Dindan.
Yeah. He's better than former Portsmouth forward Aruna Dindan.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, it scans. I think that's the main thing.
Because I think, you know, the Zidane thing, there is some room for debate. But with the Dindan, very clear, Ozil is better. So if we could sing that instead.
Could it be, though, that the football fans or the people that came up with that song are using an exaggerated example to big up Mesut Ozil's talent? You know, it's a sort of tongue-in-cheek reference to Zidane, despite the fact it rhymes. You know, they're just sort of being a bit funny, like football fans can be. Oh, Diego Costa.
What's he done now?
He's fallen over and won a free kick, and it was the most obvious thing that he was going to do, and Blind has just got booked for it.
Oh, Danny Blind, so naive. So naive, you've fallen for Diego's tricks.
Yeah, just outside the box as well. So, that's the why.
What do we want to happen in this game?
I think I'd like a Chelsea goal now. That would be good.
That
means nobody wins and, you know, everybody's vaguely unhappy. And a Chelsea goal now at 63 minutes, you know, it would leave both teams, whereas if Chelsea scored in the last minute, they would feel reasonably happy. And having scored, you know, that sort of joy of getting a late equaliser, it feels much better than it actually is, you know.
I know.
Willian is over the free kick.
He's good at them.
Oh, good ball in, and it's gone out for a corner. Anyway, Zidane, that's it, yes.
I think they're just having a laugh, aren't they?
I think so. Have you got another question, or...?
I mean, I've got this one from Steve Moore. Steve Moore at Steve Moore 4116. He's always firing questions, isn't he, Steve? He says, would you rather Spuds won the title, don't worry, there is a second half, or you discover that Phil Collins is your biological father?
Well, I don't want Tottenham to win the title at all, and families being estranged from each other are no big thing. So, yeah, Phil Collins can be my dad. I'm still not going to talk to him. I still won't like In the Air tonight. Let's move on. I think I've done.
Didn't get any of that answer.
You didn't,
because your voice went all weird. But all I got was "Let's move on." So I assume you dealt with it.
I did. I dealt with it in epic fashion, I have to say.
Great news.
Yeah. So all right. I think maybe I've got one more. Do I have one more? Boom, boom. Yeah, I did have it here. Okay. All right. This comes from Bob Maline, or Bob Maline. And he wants to know, if you and James were shrunken in a freak science accident, would you rather have to fight your way back to safety through Louis Van Gaal's hair or Donald Trump's?
Wow. What would we be fighting against in that hair?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? I guess in Trump's hair, there'll be all kinds of nits and lices and things. But he doesn't have as much hair as Van Gaal. I was looking at Van Gaal's hair today, just before the game, and I was very impressed at the volume and height of it. He's got quite high hair.
It's quite an extraordinary hairstyle, isn't it, that he's cultivated. I think we'd get through Trump's. Trump's, I think, is thinner. I think we'd manage to, you know, get through their battle the way. I mean, it'd be exciting.
I don't think I'd really like it. I mean, obviously, this is a throwback to that classic Rick Moranis film, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Of course, which I enjoyed enormously.
Mm. Mm.
But the thing about Donald Trump's hair is it's almost exactly the same colour as his skin. That's what I've observed about him.
Right.
So it's hard to see where the hair ends and the skin begins, to be honest with you. However, I feel like looking at it, that hair's thinning. It's on the way out. It's not got the same sort of sturdiness of Van Gaal's. I wouldn't fancy my chances of getting out of Van Gaal's hair in a hurry. I feel like you'd be trapped in there.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to be on Donald Trump's head, though. You know, there's so much mad stuff going on there, and you know, I feel like you could by osmosis pick up some of his mentalness, you know?
The thing that I think about Louis Van Gaal's hair is, like, it's the hair of a younger man.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a wig, or it looks like he has got someone else's hair.
It's extraordinary. Yeah, it looks like he's gone to the set of Peaky Blinders and said, give me one of your hairs!
Yeah.
You know.
It does.
Yeah.
It's quite incongruous, his hair. Mm. He's basically, also, since when he's got a bit of gel in it, it's like sort of Backstreet Boys from the 1990s or something, you know, a little cheeky centre parting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a fascinating choice. Yeah. I'm scrolling through pictures now, and it always looks good. It always looks good. He's never, you never catch him with it ruffled or out of place.
Mm. Yeah.
Immaculately coiffured. Is that a word?
It is. Whoa. Hang on. Sorry, that was just my little bit of Backstreet Boys there. Thought the fans might like it, you know.
I mean, you can't get enough of that, really. Love the Backstreet Boys. There's a picture on Google I'm looking at now of Arsene Wenger. I looked up Louis Van Gaal hair, and for some reason there's a picture of Arsene Wenger with Jurgen Klopp's hair imposed upon him.
Oh, hang on. So you Google Louis Van Gaal's hair, or Louis Van Gaal?
I've Googled
hair.
Louis Van Gaal haircut.
Haircut, okay. Cut could be the thing. And you go to the images page, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, I feel like people get different Google results at times. It's quite far down the page. I don't think you ever find it.
There's a really disturbing image of Jurgen Klopp with his head superimposed onto that of a model sitting on the beach. Do you get that one?
No, I think that's just in your head. I don't believe you that exists.
No, I'm telling you that this exists. And the caption, actually, it's on that the website of the Boy Hotspur, my old ole ole stablemate. And
yes.
The caption is, Van Gaal, you dreadful whore. And it's a picture of Klopp sitting on a beach with his head imposed onto that of a naked model, basically. So this has taken a disturbing turn. Oh, I see. I see here, there's an someone has photoshopped Steve McLaren's hair onto Arsene Wenger. Now that's disturbing.
Wow. Why are people doing this?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, I can see that McLaren one as well.
Yeah.
Very strange. Well, in related images, you may see the Jurgen Klopp one.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, the point being, I'm not happy with this situation full stop, but I'd rather fight my way out of Trump's hair than Van Gaal's. Van Gaal's is too lustrous for me to take on.
Well, I'll go with Van Gaal's hair because, hell, I like a challenge.
Okay.
And, you know.
And you don't want to be anywhere near Donald Trump.
No, and there's a good big forehead there because I assume once you fight your way out of Van Gaal's hair, you come back to normal size. So I wouldn't want to just get to the edge of his hair and fall off. You know, Van Gaal's got a big head there. So look, I think we should leave it there. You've got things to be doing. Do you want to tell people what you're doing? Or
yeah, I will do. I'm going imminently, in about an hour's time, I'm going to the north of France via a ferry to volunteer at the refugee camps in Calais and Dunkirk. I am doing like a bit of a fundraising thing as well to raise funds for food and supplies for the refugees there because there's a real shortage at the moment. So I'll put that up on my Twitter. If anyone fancies giving it a couple of quid, it all helps. So I'll be away for 7 days doing that, but I'll be back in time for the Leicester game. So I will speak to you on next Monday's show about that.
Well, fair play. I think that's a very, very honourable and very decent thing for you to be doing. Give up a week of your time. In that way.
Well, there's no game. There's no game in the interim. So,
well, of course.
Not?
I mean, look, you put football first, and then decided, hey, I'm at a loose end. There is no game, so I'll go help some people.
Indeed, football first, always.
Oh, of course, of course. Well, listen, good luck there, and I hope everything goes well. And of course, people can check out your Twitter if they do want to donate and give a few bob for that. So,
and of course, from an Arsenal point of view, it's almost certain I will befall some sort of accident or illness out there. So. You know, we will beat Leicester.
Yeah. Look, you truly are taking one for both teams here. The refugees and Arsenal.
Yeah, of course. That's very like me.
It is. All right, well, look, I'll be here with an Arsecast on Friday. We'll be looking ahead to the Leicester game, and James and I will be here next Monday to talk about that particular game. We'll keep everything crossed between now and then that it goes well. So until the next one, take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.